Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, May 28th. I'm Ray Graff. You know, May is Older Americans Month. For some of us, that's every month. Our guest today is Greg Olson, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. We'll talk about a range of issues affecting older adults today, including social isolation and resources available to help older adults in addressing a range of needs. We'll also talk about New York State's Master Plan for the Aging. And if you want to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. Last time they brought an animatronic cat. Who knows what Greg Olson will bring this time? We'll find out after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. May is Older Americans Month. Our guest today is Greg Olson, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. Greg oversees the agency's day-to-day operations and the administration of federal and state-funded programs designed to assist the more than 4.6 million older adults in the state, as well as programs that assist family members and others involved with helping older adults deal with a range of issues, including social isolation, caregiving, nutrition, economic security, and others. We'll also talk about New York State's Master Plan for the Aging, or for aging. If you have a question, give us a call, 800-348-2551. A very popular show when Greg is on, 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Greg Olson, how are you?
Ray, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me back. I'm doing well.
Have not talked to you since last year. I know that the community assessment has been going on in your office. And what exactly did that entail, and what have you guys found?
Yeah, so this was amazing. This was the first time we've ever done this in the state of New York. So it's a statewide needs assessment survey that was conducted throughout New York State. We had over 27,000 responses. So if you look at polling on TV, right, what do people think about this? What do people think about that?
1,000 people.
Right. Sample size is 400 to 1,500. Right. We had 27,000 responses.
You think that's good? I mean.
Oh, it's incredible.
Okay.
So I was in a very, very small upstate county last week, brought their results. They had over 400 results just from this county with less than 40,000 people in it. So very significant. And it was asking people 60 and older. So we had 60 to 105 low income. White, non-white, individuals making over 250,000, individuals making less, a whole bunch of different features about what they thought about themselves and what they thought about their communities as a place to grow up and grow older. And the data is just amazing.
Well, before we get to the results, give me the reasoning behind launching a rather large-scale survey like that.
Well, because nobody's done it before. We had two things that were really in the mix. One was we're required to submit a plan to the federal government once every 4 years. So in order to accurately inform our plan for the state to the federal government, we wanted to have a survey like this because we never had that before. The other thing is the Master Plan for Aging, right? This is Governor Hochul's initiative, and under her leadership, it's how can we make from birth to death, growing up and growing older in New York State, a success? And in order to do that, you need to hear from older adults themselves about what they think about themselves, what their needs might be or might not be. Again, this isn't just a deficits perspective where we're asking people who need something. There are so many assets and things that older people bring to the table that can help solve social problems.
What's the overarching find that you could point out?
Well, you know, not surprising to us, but surprising to everybody who's listening to this, is that 75% of older adults consider themselves very healthy, healthy, and active, right? So it's that 20 to 25% that might need some assistance in their homes, in their communities, as they grow older, that, you know, organizations like ours and others in the caring economy really focus on. But we have this lens in New York and across the country that older adults are expensive, they don't have anything to give, they're takers, and that's just false.
Greg Olson is our guest today from the New York State Office for the Aging. The number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, Older New Yorkers Day. which was a couple of weeks ago, especially painful to me because now I qualify. And it drives me crazy that I got old. What happened?
Well, next year, well, you did. And, you know, what's the alternative, Ray, of getting older? We don't like that, right?
So next year, we're going to
highlight you at Older New Yorkers Day.
Right. Oh, no, you're not.
But in all seriousness, we are the only state in the country that do what we do. And we have a million volunteers over the age of 60 in New York State that provide 495 million hours of service at an economic value of $13.8 billion. So we work with our counties to submit two really exemplary volunteers from their county that represent the million. And we bring them to Albany. Lieutenant Governor, we have other elected officials, but we run a program where we're really highlighting their contributions. One in every seven jobs in New York State is in the not-for-profit sector. And so just these 100 people that we honored had 4,700 years of life experience, 2,800 years of volunteer experience. So you have family experience, life experience, work experience. You get more resilient as you get older. And we want to highlight that again to combat ageism and the stereotypes about getting older.
We're joined today by Greg Olson from the New York State Office for the Aging. Our number here is 800-348-2551 as we get rolling along here. And you can email as well, voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, so you brought the animatronic cat last time, which was designed basically for... We'll get to you in a minute. Shush. Which was designed to sort of fight isolation and add some companionship for older New Yorkers. And it was a pretty cool piece of technology. And now there's this red thing that looks like a bird and sounds like a bird, but is apparently not a bird. What is it and why?
Yeah, so what we brought last year was animatronic dog and cat. We did the first study in the nation in 2018 before the pandemic to combat loneliness and isolation. We know that, you know, loneliness and isolation costs Medicare $7 billion to treat. It's the equivalent of smoking almost a pack of cigarettes a day, will increase hypertension, depression, anxiety, and will literally kill you. So we started this project. What you're seeing here, and for those of you who can't see, you're hearing a cardinal. And this is the newest iteration. We've put out 31,500 pets so far.
What do you do with it?
We have a lot of partners throughout the state who know people, like on our caseload and others, who don't have anybody else. And our study shows that depression, loneliness, and pain decrease by 75% after 1 year. So what you're hearing is what's called the Walker Squawker. We have a bluebird and a cardinal. We have the cardinal with us here today. And what that does is it affixes itself to somebody's walker. So when they get up, if they forget their walker, the cardinal is going to let you know. And why? Because falls and injuries related to falls cost almost $80 billion a year, and we're trying to prevent that.
That is actually a fairly – did you come up with that?
No.
All right.
This is ageless innovation.
That's a really great idea. And I All right. We're going to put you over here just a little further. We'll leave him going. Well, you know what? For the bird show next week, I'm all in on this.
We got you a bluebird, too.
Oh, really? We'll put it right in Studio A and see how the roundtable goes. Greg Olson's our guest, New York State Office for the Aging. The number is 800-348-2551. This guy has AI, though, right?
Yes. So it's low scale, meaning that it will know if I get up. It will be able to read that I got up and walked away. And will let me know, please don't forget the walker.
Yeah.
And then when I start using it, it will sing a song. But here's the other thing, Ray. If I have one of these and you've never seen it, what are you going to do? You're going to come over to me and say, what is that?
True.
Right. So it's an
icebreaker.
Just
before I jump out the window.
Well, I hope you don't do that.
No, I'm kidding, of course.
But it's an automatic icebreaker to combat, you know, again, loneliness. Somebody comes over and starts that dialogue. What is that?
Yeah.
Where did you get it?
Yeah,
what does it do?
It's cool. And also, just... You probably tried this in the office. You put it behind your boss's desk. Well, you're the boss, but you put it. We just tried it in the newsroom with Ian Pickus, and he was perplexed and then annoyed. So I consider that mission accomplished. No, but this thing's great, and I love it.
There's so many of these real innovative tech solutions that most people don't know about. And we have 21 public-private partnerships with tech companies. Some using AI, some other types of tech. that are really making tremendous positive differences in people's lives.
Greg Olson is here from the New York State Office for the Aging. The engineers are looking askance at us here. Yep, that's it, guys. Sorry, Zach. We're going to take a break here. Then we're going to talk a little bit about where we are with the master plan for aging. And then we'll hit the phones. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's Greg, the Boyd, and me. We'll be back with you in a moment. Basie mixed with the Beatles is counterintuitive, but it works, just as a animatronic AI bird works here in Studio A. We're joined by Greg Olson, who is the acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. We're going to get rid of that acting part. We're going to just call you director.
You can call me whatever you want.
Okay. When are we going to get rid of the acting? That's, you know, you've been here a long time. Come on, man. I won't get you in any political trouble. 800-348-2551 is the number. You know, one of the things you do, as I understand it, is you search out these partnerships with tech companies. What's on the horizon? Can you give us a spoiler?
You know, it's a really great question. So we've got, the animatronic pets. We've got intergenerational games. We got televisions where somebody could call, let's say my mom, and it goes right to the television. Provides programming, for example, for somebody with dementia, but also the caregiver. We have a tech partnership that's doing weekly visits, one-hour visits to over 200 countries. So I've been to Prague. I've been to Slovenia, where you could have a professional on the other end literally take you on a one-hour tour. So we've put that into 51 senior centers. We have bands and bracelets where you can have some of the information that you need in an emergency where it can simply be scanned. I mean, it's endless. And, of course, we have Intuition Robotics and LEQ, which is the most proactive AI. So what's on the horizon, Ray? Great question, and my answer is always the same. I have no idea. But yeah. I'll know it when I see it.
Now, you've been to Prague and all these places. You go yourself.
No, virtual visit.
Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So, quick question. Is the bird driving you nuts yet?
No, I love the bird. I have a bird in my car that sings to me in the morning.
Zach is actually not annoyed by it.
No,
which
Zach's
is funny
digging it.
Because he's annoyed by me almost always during every show. So that's pretty good. All right, here's an email we got. I want to talk about the master plan.
Sure.
And see where we are with that. That's something we talked about last year. But this email from Anthony came to voxpop@wamc.org. Hopefully, Greg can talk to people and remind them about the fact that nobody will ever require you to pay a bill or debt via gift cards or other unusual means. With so many scams going on these days, my own aunt was nearly a victim of the grandmother scam. The caller had her believing the whole story, but it was the fact her former son-in-law called her grandma and she heard his voice come back and believed all of it until he wanted $15,000 delivered to New Jersey. So let's talk about scams a little bit, and that's in the news. It's been in the news in all the states in our region, but let's just talk about New York for a minute.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you raised that question via email, so thank you for doing that. Scammers take from older adults nationwide $28 billion a year. All right, let's let that sink in for a second. 60% of scammers are somebody that the older adult knows. 40% are not. And those are on the rise, the outside, the tech. And what he's talking about is AI, the ability of my voice to be replicated. So the email is exactly right. For those out there listening, you know, Medicare, Social Security, the IRS, UPS, other things, they're never going to ask for, if it's legitimate, any personal information. So that should be a red flag. If you get emails with links in them, for example, don't click the link. If you get a phone call from a number you don't recognize, don't answer it.
Yeah.
If it's somebody you know, they're going to leave a message. So while the scammers are ridiculously sophisticated, the ways to protect yourself are extraordinarily simple.
It's a tough message, however, and I've seen this with my some older relatives that I have dealt with over the years. And you hit a certain age, technology becomes I'm not saying full-blown dementia, but technology becomes more confusing. Doing simple things becomes more confusing with tech, which continues to get more and more complicated and more advanced. The AI thing scares the daylights out of me, these scams. How do you sort of bridge the lessening technological skills of a population as it ages with increasing technological skills of the bad guys?
Yeah, you have to. It's hard, and you're right. And Ray, we come from, you and I are about the same age. We came from the same place.
I didn't tear my hamstring.
That's true. When I was growing up, people still went door to door selling encyclopedias.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah,
and
I remember.
So we also have a different generational approach where there was trust, right? People came and said, hey, your roof looks like it needs to be redone. So those kinds of things are over, but you have a different culture of people who are older that grew up differently than you do today.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the tech is getting more sophisticated, and it is, and AI, the number one scam right now is a romance scam. And that's somebody who befriends somebody and they get into a long distance romance relationship and the trust factor happens and they wind up giving them money. We know people who knew they were getting scammed, but because they were isolated, it was the only person that they would talk to once a week. They knew they were getting scammed,
yeah,
but they had somebody to talk to. So, you know, these are things that we and our partners across the state, Department of Financial Services, the Aging Network, many of our partners, you have to keep the issues and how to protect yourself in front of them all the time, because it's not going to go away. We talked here about the value of the older population. You know, the resources they have, the home ownership rates, their pensions, et cetera. That's where a lot of the money is. 83% of all household income generated in the United States is the 50-plus population.
Yeah.
So that's where people are going to go. But it's these low-budget solutions that I think we need to continue to get out there and let people know it's so much easier to hang up the phone, call your bank, did you send me this?
Yeah.
And verify, right? Rather than clicking on something.
We're joined today by Greg Olson, who is the acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. The number here is 800-348-2551, and we will get to your calls momentarily. I just want to talk about the Master Plan for Aging, which is something that was, what, unveiled last year or 22? I can't remember.
The executive order was in the fall of 22.
Right. Okay. Where have we gone with that in the implementation of Governor Hochul's plan?
So we are still in the process of gathering info. It's a big deal. We've had over 500 stakeholders. These are organizations. These are individuals on a variety of committees that have been meeting for about 18 months. We've done over 20 public hearings and listening sessions. There'll be one tomorrow in Hamburg, which is outside of the Buffalo area. To gain the public's perception, both from the individual, the older adult themselves, a family member, could be a grandkid, and individuals that work in a variety of different capacities serving older adults and their families. So we have an initial report that was provided a couple of months ago, and we're in the process of the next iteration of kind of a midterm report.
So this is not the community assessment. This is something
else.
No,
the community assessment, though, significantly helps inform this. And in addition to our 27,000 responses, there was an additional survey that kind of built upon ours. Not as many elements, but we got another 10,000. So you're talking about almost 40,000 results. And then what we're basically doing is categorizing those, putting those into buckets of what these recommendations are going to be. And then the governor will deliver the final MPA, and I only mean final in terms of the written report, because this will be a living, ongoing document that needs to evolve over time as communities change and people change.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551. Greg Olson is here from the New York State Office for the Aging. How many people are in the Office for the Aging?
In our office, we have about 125, but we have 59 county offices for the aging that have staff, and we work with 1,200 community-based organizations.
It's a large number of people in this office. And one of the problems when any corporate or government or nonprofit gets big is keeping that organization agile. Are you feeling that you're meeting needs in a personal way across the state.
No question about that. We are not a reactive agency. We are a very proactive agency. I think we talked about this last time. I've been doing this work for 33 years. I've been in every county, every community over 33 years. Getting to know not only the people that you serve, but the people who are providing the service is critically important. I don't do my policy work or any work sitting in Two Empire Plaza down in downtown Albany. We are very agile, very nimble, and able to move very, very quickly. And I think a testament to how we are that agile is we have 21 proactive public-private partnerships, and the rest of the country is replicating what we're doing.
Number to call here is 800-348-2551. Let's jump to the phones. Greg Olson is our guest today from the New York State Office for the Aging. Email address is voxpop@wamc.org. We'll go to Richfield Springs. Maureen, you're on.
Hi, this is Maureen Culbert from Richfield Springs.
Hi.
Hi, Maureen.
Greg, thanks for taking my call. I want to just talk a few minutes about something very important, probably the most important thing about seniors. And it's about living in nursing homes and having a minimum ratio of staff to nursing care. And this is something that I have personally experienced when my mother was at the nursing home in Cooperstown, New York. And the first thing that happens when nursing homes privatize is that they cut the staff. Okay. And people said, oh, no, this is never going to happen. Our county reps all swore this was never going to happen. They said, oh, no, don't you worry. Not going to happen. And it sure enough did. And not only did they sell the nursing home to an organization, but then it resold three times over. And the care went right down into the toilet.
Yeah, you know, go ahead, Maureen.
Let me finish, because this is something else very important that a nurse told me, and I would not have known this, and your listeners should know this. A nurse told me this about residents, that once they are elderly and they are, it's a terrible thing, but I'm going to tell you.
All right.
If they are lying in their own excrement, it damages their skin.
That's right.
And they don't have enough. They don't take in enough food and nourishment like you and I, where we're walking around because they're bedridden or they're sitting in a wheelchair. And they cannot recoup themselves from this bed sore.
Okay.
And a bed sore is a death sentence. Okay? And what happens is it doesn't heal. And it gets worse and worse and worse until the person is on their deathbed.
Okay.
So I'm telling you this. And here's another thing people All right. don't know, that there are mattresses that shift the weight. But you have to ask for it if you're in a nursing home. You have to ask for it, which I did. But
okay.
at the same time, these are little things that are big things. And people don't know this. And it's, to me, one of the most important things of anything you can talk about is the ratio of
okay.
nursing or staff to the residents.
We got you. Let's have Greg Olson weigh
thank
in
you.
On that. Thanks, Maureen.
Yeah,
appreciate
thanks
it.
So
All
much.
Right. And I'm going to I'll hang up now
Splendid.
And listen to you on the radio.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, Maureen. You're right. Look, it's a really difficult decision to have to place a loved one in a nursing home like you did with your mom. So I know how difficult that is. We oversee the long-term care ombudsman program, which is really the eyes and ears for families, the residents councils within nursing homes to make sure that the quality of care is what we're paying for. There has been a lot of additional resources put into the Medicaid budget this year for staffing. Both in hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living, ALP, et cetera, because you're right. Staffing levels translate directly into good quality care or not good quality care. And while we don't oversee or license the nursing homes, there has been a large dialogue in Albany about selling publicly held or county nursing homes to the private sector, because a lot of times care suffers at the expense of profit motive.
And, you know, not for nothing, the entire population is aging, and the boomers are now all older, qualified as older Americans now, and it's not going, they're not going to be less old people in 10 years. How do you, in the New York State Office for the Aging, plan ahead?
Well,
you have enough on your plate for today.
I'm so glad you asked that, because that's the dialogue around the master plan, right? So we have, Ray, 111,000 nursing home beds in New York State. 97,000 are filled. We have 4.84 million people over the age of 60. The math doesn't work. Most people will never need to go into a nursing home if they have the community-based support services like we provide and others provide throughout New York State. And that's really what the master plan is all about. How do we change the caring economy so we're not spending all of this money at the back end, where we could have a major impact on the front end by helping people stay at home?
Yeah.
The average person that we serve in some of our core programs is an 83-year-old low-income female, lives alone, 4 to 10 chronic conditions, and many limitations in being able to get up in the morning, bathe, dress, shop, eat, prepare food, and we can provide that service and keep them out of a nursing home.
Yeah.
That's the future.
Our guest today is Greg Olson from the New York State Office for the Aging. The number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. MJ writes in, could you talk a little about the upcoming senior games, the scope, the purpose, who should consider competing, what are they like, et cetera?
Absolutely. So there's three areas where you can compete. One is in SUNY Cortland, and they're really affiliated with the National Senior Games. Orange County also has a senior games, and so does Shenango County. And they pull people in from other states and counties, so you don't have to be a resident. They are fantastic. I go every single year. So who should go? Anybody. You're talking golf and archery, walking, could be running. There's so many events, 30, 40, 50 events. People age 60 to over 100. And what it's about
over 100?
Over 100. I'm telling you.
What are you going to do at 100?
Probably beat us both at golf.
All right. Well, that's a fair bet.
Yeah. It's really about, look, we grow up and you don't turn a certain age and things don't matter anymore, whether it be sports or news or politics, arts and culture, pets, whatever it might be. So this is an opportunity for people to get together and compete, but also build friendships and camaraderie. I mean, it's really fantastic.
Greg Olson is here. Let's grab another call before the next break. 800-348-2551 is our number. Let's go to Merle in Argyle. Hello, Merle.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, Merle.
This has to do with aging in place. I live in Washington County, and I have used Saratoga County and Washington County for home improvement. If you qualify for HEAP, they can come to your house and see what you need, like handrails and little jobs, right?
Okay.
Are you still there?
Oh, yeah, we're listening.
We're still
Merle.
With you.
Go,
yep.
Man, go.
Basically, the problem I have is I use it when I can qualify. But the problem is, if I need a handrail, you are put on a list, and the list is a year away.
Okay.
A year. And obviously, there's just not enough money in the system.
Okay, so that's a good. Let's see if you can.
Yeah, and Merle,
speak to that.
On the wait list, you said Washington and Saratoga. Is that going through the County Office for Aging?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's whatever. I can give you the name.
Oh, let's.
The reason I ask, Merle, is our county offices have the authority to provide those types of services, and we do throughout New York State. You're right. The funding isn't always, meet the need, but I'm not sure if because you mentioned HEAP, if you were going through like the Restore program or through the local Department of Social Services, if you hadn't reached out to your county office for the aging, putting in a handrail, safety features in the bathroom, small home modifications. Those are things that we do across the state.
Okay, Merle, we're going to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Greg Olson is here from the New York State Office for the Aging. May is Older Americans Month. Live it, love it. We'll be back. Thad Jones, Count 'Em. That's our bumper music there on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you. We're joined by Greg Olson and his lovable little bird here. Say something, Birdie. I think Birdie's on strike here. What happened? Oh, there you go. Hi. Let's go back to our phone lines here. We'll go to Amsterdam and Mariana, you're on.
Hello, my name is Mariana. I'm calling from Amsterdam. I hope everyone is doing well.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
I just have a quick question. I just have a quick question. For some quick context, I'm 27 years old, but my mother is in her 70s. So I just want to know what steps I can take. By no means am I trying to like put my mom in a nursing home or anything. She's very independent. But I want to know what steps I can proactively take for myself to prepare, or what I can do, or what I can offer her, and just general questions like that.
Yeah, that's a great question, Marianne, and thanks so much for calling. I think a lot of people don't recognize that people in their 20s and 30s are caregivers for an older adult. They usually think it's an older woman taking care of their mom. So there's going to be two things that I'm going to recommend. So you're in Amsterdam. I'd reach out to Dave Jordan in the Montgomery County Office for Aging. They can walk you through the resources that they have in the county. But what I really want to do is also direct you to our website, aging.ny.gov. We have a whole section on our site on free resources for caregivers, which is you, that can help with the planning, that can help support you in a variety of different ways. There's a lot there, so I don't want to get into a lot of detail. But those are the first two steps is, for any listener out there, your first call should be the County Office for Aging. So it's Montgomery County where you are. And then go to our website, aging.ny.gov, and we have a whole section just in supporting caregivers.
It's a great website, Mariana.
And thank you for what you're doing. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Greg Olson is our guest, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. And we'll grab another call, then we'll do some email and roll on. Cookie is in Mount Kisco. Hello, Cookie.
Hi there. I just I want to thank the Office for the Aging. I live in Westchester, and I've had a lot to do with them, and they are so wonderful. They even help me with a lot of things about Medicare. But my questions are this. I'm getting older, and nursing homes cost like $17,000 a month, and memory care units can cost that also. The one I'm thinking of is $11,000 a month. How does one afford it as one ages?
Yeah,
and what can I do as a citizen?
Well, it's definitely difficult. So the primary payer of nursing home care is Medicaid. So the first thing, Cookie, is if you haven't done any pre-planning, whether that be we have something called the TEPSAT, the Elder Preparedness Self-Assessment Tool, or you talk to an elder law attorney, I think that those things are really important to do. We don't do well as a society in planning for our needs as we get older. It sounds to me like, you know, there are things that you can do in Westchester to stay active and engaged. People don't know that Alzheimer's disease is not a normal process of aging, and some of the ways to reduce your risk of getting dementia are eating well, walking, staying socially connected, making sure that your vision and hearing are well. Those are indicators of actually getting dementia. But right now, outside of paying out of your own pocket, and you're absolutely right, nursing home costs down where you are $170,000 a year, or spending down to Medicaid is very difficult for most people. So what I would argue is finding ways to remain active, engaged in your community, connected with the Office for Aging and other community outlets so that you don't have to wind up in a nursing home.
Cookie.
Well, okay, but that doesn't sound very optimistic. What can New York State do or the federal government do? In Sweden, the old people don't have these concerns. There are other countries that handle this differently.
Well, I'm glad you talked about the federal government because we are advocating extensively for resources at the federal level. What's wound up happening and how we've constructed services for older people is they're the most expensive. It's Medicare and Medicaid at the expense of things that we can do in the community to keep people at home. As I had mentioned, the folks that we serve at home are nursing home eligible, and they don't need to go there because we can provide transportation, nutrition, case management, a whole bunch of other services in their homes or in their communities to help them thrive. And so it's not that hard. It's just that the federal government has never provided the resources that we need to expand. It's been up to state government and county government.
Cookie, thanks for the call. So do you lobby? Do you lobby the federal government?
Oh, absolutely. I created in 2021 an Older Americans Act modernization plan. This was at the height of the pandemic because everybody recognized from the president down to local county official how valuable our services were when, you know, people had to stay at home. And so I organized my counterparts across the country. I worked with Becky Prevey, who's the director of the Association on Aging that represents 59 counties. We organized the country around my plan. Governor Hochul endorsed the plan. Senator Gillibrand endorsed our plan. And that's what we're really trying to do because, like I said, the people who can least afford to pay, county government, then the state, are paying the most. The feds, who tell us what it is we have to do, aren't providing us any money.
Ah, the old unfunded mandates, eh? The number here is 800-348-2551. Greg Olson joins us from the New York State Office for the Aging. Here's one. You know, I got to thinking about this during the call with Cookie. You have a fairly, not aggressive, but a high-looking plan from the governor's office in this master plan for aging. You have an organization of 59 county organizations that are working together, and yet there are some things you can't do. There are some problems you cannot solve at this time. This might be one. This is from, I don't know who it's for, doesn't say. I'm 72 years old, just received a letter stating that my MasterCard will charge me $1.99 each time they mail me a bill. I don't think that's right. With paper, I'm able to line up my bills for the month and pay them. How can you change that? Grandfathering those of us who have a paper routine would be the number one goal here. And I, by the way, I'm not 72. I totally dig what this person is saying.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, for that person, I don't know if that's something you can forward to me, Ray.
Oh, yeah, I can after the show, sure.
You know, you're right, Ray. Those are not solutions that I can provide, but that's why we have partnerships with the Department of Financial Services, with other federal entities. That, to me, just seems like a way to gouge the consumer, right? I don't know how many bills MasterCard's putting out, but let's just say for the sake of argument, they do 100 million bills a month, and they charge you a dollar. Yeah. That's $100 million. It was just like the ATM machines, right? It's a way to fleece the consumer a buck at a time.
Well, now, there was a brand name for this card that I'm not going to mention just to be on the safe side, but I'm not sure that's the same across all the MasterCards that are out there. But there you go. And, you know, the Master Plan for Aging is, as we talked about it, it's a fairly wide-ranging plan. 10 years, that may be a different plan.
Yeah. So, you know, the short term is the governor will release the first iteration of the plan in the spring of 25. So that's not that far away.
Yeah.
But then it needs to be an evolving, constantly moving target, because you're right. Things are going to be different 5 years from now, 10 years from now. I mean, I just look at just the tech advances in the last 3 years alone. So if the goal is not to draft a plan and then have it sit on a shelf, that would be a waste of all of our time, and it's not going to meet the goal of what we're trying to meet. And what is the goal? Have New York be the healthiest state in the country. We are still the number one exodus state in the nation, people leaving New York. What that means is they're bringing their home equity, their pensions, their volunteer, their discretionary spending somewhere else, and that hurts our economy. Older adults are the number one givers to volunteerism, philanthropy, charity. They're the number one entrepreneur group. Did you know, Ray, that 41% of all taxes, state and local, are paid by the 50-plus population? $72 billion a year. So when you start looking at older adults, we talked about, you know, the Polco study. 75% of older people consider themselves very healthy, active, and engaged. So we want to keep it that way so that we have their intellectual, social, and economic capital stays in the state. But we have lots and lots of data that shows what that value is to their family, friends, and community.
Greg Olson is with us today. The number is 800-348-2551. We'll get to the phone calls again in a moment here. This email from Gene. My mother-in-law lived in a low-income apartment that was promoted as a building for the elderly. However, it was sited where there was no cab or bus service, no stores within walking distance. Seems like a no-brainer that people need access to grocery stores. Rural areas have special needs. When I called offices in Albany about this, they said, call the grocery stores and advocate for delivery. That's from Gene. What do you say about that?
Well, I appreciate that, Gene. I once had groceries delivered, and they charged me $80. I never did it again.
Yeah.
So that's not an option for a lot of people. And you're right. I think that that's one of the things that we're talking about as part of the master plan. So, you know, you'll hear things like smart growth, livable communities. Look, suburbia was born in Melville, Long Island after World War II. And here's what they did. And if you're from Albany, okay, I'm from Delmar. So we know Colony, we know Delmar, we know Gilderland, right? Yeah. All the houses are in one spot. Everything else is somewhere else. And so if you don't have access to transportation, either yourself or publicly or what have you, you're literally cut off from society. And so that's all a part of the master plan is how do you change the built environment that supports people, where you don't need a car, where you can walk to get a haircut or a doctor's appointment or a grocery store. So I don't have an immediate answer to that, but we're all thinking about it and it's part of the planning.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that it gets to the point where a plan like that will be too ambitious so as to not be reasonable? It sounds like you're talking about a restructuring of basically society.
Well, I think on the issue we just talked about, that's been in the works now for 6 years, yeah. Downtown revitalization, right?
Yeah.
So we built in smart growth and livability language into those $10 million grants. So when somebody is applying for, like Amsterdam did or some of the others, and now it's actually not just cities. Governor Hochul last year passed a similar thing for suburban and rural areas where that needs to become part of the mix, because if people are not connected to their community, they fail and there's costs on the outside. So to answer your question, there's going to be low hanging fruit, right? The easy stuff to do. And there's going to be things that are going to take multi-years because you're literally changing 40, 50, 60 years of how things were done. So, you know, unfortunately, can't do some things overnight, but there needs to be a short-term, middle-term, and long-term plan.
Greg Olson is here. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Wes is in Half Moon. Wes.
Yes. Thanks for taking the call.
You bet.
I have a progressive condition that has me now in a wheelchair whenever I go out. My wife and I like to go to live music or to go to a restaurant for, you know, lunch or dinner. The condition of the infrastructure, sidewalks, roads, crosswalks in areas like Saratoga, Troy, downtown Albany, really pose a problem where the cracks in the pavement, potholes. What is your office doing when you talk about partnerships with, you know, city and county government to improve that infrastructure so that those who have mobility needs are able to safely get down the block? Sometimes in Troy, if I'm going to the music hall to get from a parking lot to there, I have to be riding my wheelchair down the street,
yeah.
middle of the street.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're right about sections of Troy. It's a better in Saratoga and Half Moon because they've done a lot of infrastructure changes as part of making those livable communities. So, you know, Wes, to be honest with you, our office doesn't do anything in terms of making those changes, but we advocate along with disability communities and others on projects to make sure that they are ADA compliant. As you know, for existing structures, there's different sets of rules for making those ADA compliant compared to anything that's new.
I understand that they're grandfathered.
Yes, correct.
Again, I'm talking, you know, I mean, some of the places make it very accessible to, you know, get in. But the act of going down the two blocks on the sidewalk where you have a 3-inch raised section of concrete followed by, you know, peeled, you know, pits and holes makes it very difficult to navigate if you're in a manual wheelchair.
Yeah, there's no question about that. I feel your pain on that.
All right, Wes, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Glens Falls quickly here. Bob, you're on.
Hi. I'm 86 years old, and my partner of the last 25 years is rather incapacitated. I got the flu recently, and I was thinking, what would happen if I passed suddenly? Who would really help this woman? I mean, we still have a house with lots of stuff in it. I've got a will. But what happens if somebody dies suddenly and there's no other support? Family members are off in Seattle, or is there something like a doula for death or a midwife for helping families for departing? I mean, they have doulas and midwives for people getting born. Is there any kind of profession that helps deal with the aftermath of when somebody dies?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, for hospice specifically, and I know I'm not sure if the person you're speaking with is in hospice, they actually continue providing services to the individual and or the family after the point of death through the grieving. If this is something that you can reach out to my office, you're in Glens Falls. That's something.
Yes, I'm in Glens Falls.
I would be happy to look into that for you. I think it's a great question. You know, obviously there's a variety of different, you know, mental health and other types of family counselors, but you're specific for a grieving family member. Has definitely piqued my interest.
I'm talking about dealing with the practical things. Somebody to help. Okay, I'm hoping my body will go to Albany Med, but if there has to be a funeral, what to do with the house, what to do with all the leftover bills,
how to
deal with all the...
Huge question, Bob, but we're almost out of time here. We only have about 15
Bob,
seconds.
Reach out to my office, aging.ny.gov. There's a general mailbox, and just put Bob from Vox Pop, and we'll follow up with you.
Bob, thanks a lot for the call. We'll have to leave it there. Greg Olson, you're a tremendous guest every time you're on this program. Are you optimistic?
I am very optimistic, Ray. I think, you know, Governor Hochul understands our agency has really been leading the charge in the right direction. I think that we are at a different point in time in a lot of different areas with the master plan, some of our other partnerships, the intense advocacy. So, yeah, I am optimistic, and you have to be.
Well, you know what? You always bring a cool gadget, too, so you're a lot of fun on this program. Greg Olson, thanks for being here. We'll do it again, yeah?
All right. Thanks, Ray. I appreciate it.
Support comes from Barrington Brewery, Great Barrington. Solar brewed beer served fresh 6 days a week since 1995, serving 9 beers on tap on 1 cask-conditioned ale. Full kitchen menu available for lunch and dinner. Closed Tuesdays, BarringtonBrewery.net. LaBella Associates, architectural and engineering consultants serving education and healthcare industries of the greater Hudson Valley and North Country, that is, LaBellaPC.com. And WAMC Underwriters, supporting public radio in the Northeast with contributions from small businesses, regional institutions, local organizations, and beyond. Partnership opportunities at WAMCunderwriting.org. Thanks again to Greg Olson of the New York State Office for Aging for being here today. Thank you for listening. Great calls, great emails. Thank you, and sorry if we didn't get to yours. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Ed Rosen screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, get your quill pen. It's a writer's forum. We'll see you at 2 p.m.